love your work. On this show, we meet people who have carved out success by their own definition. I'm David Cadavy, bestselling author and entrepreneur. This is our 20th episode, and I think that we'll be celebrating 50,000 downloads with this episode. With 20 episodes, it's roughly 2,500 downloads per episode. The most popular one being Jason Fried's episode, which is flirting with 5,000 at this point. Those numbers might be higher or lower than what you would expect to hear. I'm not quite sure. I know that they seem low relative to page views. I'm used to, you know, writing a blog post, and it's not totally unusual for it to have 30,000 views or so within a couple of days. But when you think about that many instances of somebody downloading audio and listening to it while they enjoy doing other things, that's really powerful. I doubt that all of those are full listens, but that is a lot, and that is pretty cool. I wasn't sure whether to share exact numbers with you guys, but consider yourselves trailblazers. I hope that we'll be having more listeners in the future. If we stay at this level, that's kind of okay too, but I do feel the ground swelling beneath our feet. We're seeing a lot of support coming from the community. Thank you to Connor Hassan, that is Connorhasson on Twitter, for sharing the Jason Fried interview on Designer News, and that got quite a few upvotes on there. Probably discovered after Jason tweeted it a couple times to his 160,000+ followers, which would explain why his episode is so popular. I really appreciate it when people share things on news sites such as that, or upvote on Product Hunt. That really helps bring in new listeners, and that definitely did bring in new listeners. There was at least one person who commented that, gosh, they were reluctant to listen to the episode even, but that they ended up really loving it. We're also now on TuneIn Radio, which means, I believe that means it, well, it does mean that you can easily stream Love Your Work on Sonos. And in my experience of listening to podcasts on Sonos, I haven't found other ways to listen to podcasts on Sonos that are practical, that don't involve dealing with files that are on your computer or something like that. So that is really cool news. You can go ahead and stream Love Your Work right there on Sonos. We have several new reviews in the iTunes store. Thank you so much. We have gone from 53. I guess I haven't checked lately. It might be up from 53 to 57 or 56 or something. We have K8 White with three eyes, who says, I typically get bored of podcasts before a 30-minute mark, and never have I binge-listened to a podcast until now. The first episode I listened to was the interview with Jason Fried, and that hooked me into shotgunning the rest. I enjoy Cadavy's unpretentious delivery and thoughtful content. That's super flattering, and thank you so much for that. Next, we have NJChaz_123. Started listening a few days ago. I'm in extreme binge mode and have found each episode to be a great listen. Highly recommend the first episode with Jason Fried. Kudos to David for his easy listening conversational style. Great stuff. And that is two reviews in a row that mention binge listening. Now, I feel maybe I shouldn't be too proud about making people binge listen, but you know, that's pretty cool. I'm glad that people are binge listening. And then we have Romu Gaborio. I'm sorry if I'm butchering that name. I learned something new and interesting every time I listen to this podcast. If you like Tim Ferriss, you'll love this podcast and should check out the rest of David's work. Thank you for that, Romu. I will graciously accept the Tim Ferriss comparison. We're obviously very different in a lot of ways, but I admire his work a great deal. And what else is new? I am recording this intro here a little bit before I'm talking to Nir Eyal. And Nir Eyal is the author of Hooked, How to Build Habit-Forming Products. And it's not going to be an interview. We're going to be having a conversation, actually, about digital distraction. That has the alarmist title, and you can blame me for this alarmist title, of Is Silicon Valley Leading Us into the Robot Apocalypse? It sounds alarmist, but, you know, there's a little bit of reality to that as well. Nir and I had a conversation where we discovered that we really had a lot of overlapping interests and concern in this, and that we had that we perhaps disagreed in a couple of areas. So we decided to go ahead and schedule a conversation and record it. And we'll be having the first. We'll be recording the first part of that conversation today. Still don't know yet whether I'm going to be releasing just that part of the conversation, or if we're going to have another conversation. We'll put that together, or if it's going to be worth publishing at all. I imagine so. Nir is very smart and has been thinking about this a lot. I've been thinking about this a lot. In fact, I've done probably the past 3 months have been independently researching and writing and thinking about digital distraction and the implications on individuals and on society and ways to combat it. And I'm just trying to find the right angle for things, which segs into a project that I have going on right now on Medium. I am publishing every morning a 500-word blog post on Medium. Now, I've been really reluctant to have any sort of quota for myself in the past. It's one of these things that is commonly doled out as advice is to make a habit of publishing blog posts on some particular schedule. And I do think that it's really helpful to write on some particular schedule. But the thing is, I've been writing on a strict schedule the last 3 months or so, and I've been thinking very hard about particular things, and almost nobody has seen any of that writing. And so this is an opportunity to sort of force myself to condense things down to shorter snippets. And I'm publishing them on Medium. I'm not doing a ton of promotion of them except for telling you about them here and tweeting them from @Cadavy on Twitter. And I've been doing it for a few days and was tentative about whether I would actually make it a habit, but here I am now telling you. So I guess for the month of April, I've made that commitment. That's going to be the first thing that I do every morning is write a 500-word blog post and publish it. So I think that the quality of those blog posts is pretty good. I like to spend more time on blog posts usually, but that may not always be productive. So I'm finding it to be a challenging experiment, and I hope that you enjoy what I published there. This episode is another mini episode. This is about my week of want, which is a strategy that I use to reconnect with what it is that I really want to do, with what I really enjoy doing, to let down my guard and be guided by my curiosity. I spoke about this a little bit with John Cunios, the neuroscientist who studies the nature of insight on an earlier episode. That is our second most popular episode, by the way, despite it being almost 3 hours long. And by not having to think about goals or exactly what it is that I want to work on, I come across some pretty amazing discoveries sometimes. And I'm going to go ahead and read that to you a little bit. And here it comes. Before we get started, I've got a design course deal going on. I've made a course entirely about white space. Now, that may sound totally absurd to you, but that's exactly what makes this course so powerful. How many times have you been in a design meeting and heard someone say, "This needs more white space"? This has too much white space, or this has good white space. Plenty of times, probably. Yet nobody has ever defined just what that means to use white space well. It's become a meaningless buzzword that people just throw around when they run out of things to say. And it isn't misguided. White space is, in fact, the most important factor that makes a design look clean, clear, and professional. It's just that by its very nature, white space, or negative space, doesn't get that much attention. It's much easier to obsess over choosing the right font or fall in the trap of thinking that adding another color to your design is going to make it look better. This is why I created White Hot Course. It's the only course out there that's all about white space, and I spent years obsessing over alignment, sizing, invisible geometric relationships that make a design have that clean and appealing look that you otherwise just can't find the source of. It's why I won fancy international design awards and how I cranked out great designs really fast working at Silicon Valley startups. The centerpiece of the course is a talk I did at South by Southwest all about white space. I spent 6 months on this talk alone. I traveled all over the US testing it out, adjusting the pacing, getting the timing right on all the animations, and I finally delivered it in Austin to a packed auditorium with a line out the door, and I haven't done the talk since, and I hired a film crew to get it all on video for you just for this course. The course is finally open to the public, and I'm having a short sale to kick it off. Get 50% off with the code WHITEHOTLOVE at designforhackers.com/WHITEHOTCOURSE, and I'm going to go ahead and set some sort of a expiration date on this. Make sure that you do that before next end of next Friday, before April 16th, 2016. That is 50% off with the code WHITEHOTLOVE at designforhackers.com/WHITEHOTCOURSE. Week of Want. I killed my to-do list, then Google bought my ideas. The email seemed as urgent as it was hastily written. Subject: immediate action requested. Requested is misspelled. Attached to the email was redacted, redacted, and another redacted. I needed to review the redacted and sign them within 18 hours. Once I did that, redacted, or cases of Topo Chico, or other forms of compensation that I can't specify, were going to be transmitted from Google Inc. to me. No, this email was not from a so-called Nigerian prince. This was real life. 2 years prior, an equally suspect email appeared in my inbox. Paraphrase: I've accomplished a lot already. I've read your blog, and we have a reason to chat. Looking back at that email, it shakes my head how resistant I was to engage with this person. I replied, I'm heads down on a project and prepping for some travel, so I'm not doing meetings for at least the next couple of weeks, just trying to cut down on cognitive overhead. I was very focused on launching my first email course at the time, and while I was prepping for another mini life, and I didn't want any distractions. After I delayed a few weeks and reluctantly signed an NDA, the author of this email prefaced our conversation with something to the effect of, I think you'll see that we were meant to work together. It turned out he was right. So why was this entrepreneur so eager to talk to me? I killed my to-do list, which, ironically, helped with reinventing the to-do list. To-do lists can be very useful for getting things done, but who's to say that what's on your to-do list is really worth doing? This question usually sneaks into my brain as I'm struggling to get myself to do something. You have to XYZ, I'll be telling myself. I finally snap out of it. Wait a minute, who says I have to do anything? I'm my own boss, damn it. Kill your to-do list with a week of want. This is why I've instated the occasional week of want. During a week of want, I allow myself to do whatever I want in my business, and I don't have to rationalize to myself that it's worth doing. I kill my to-do list and just ask myself what sounds like fun. Once I get started, work feels easy again. A lack of motivation and energy gives way to effortless productivity. Instead of being tired of working in the early afternoon, I keep going into the night. My work fuels me again. What makes the week of want so powerful? Insight and rationality are at odds with one another. Research shows that rational thinking hinders insightful thinking. You can't physically do both at the same time. Co-author of The Eureka Factor, Aha Moments, Creative Insight, and the Brain, John Cunios, who is a previous podcast guest, explains, people pick up on patterns when they passively experience that they can miss if they try to consciously reason them out. Killing your to-do list frees you from trying to rationalize everything you do. A week provides more depth. You've heard of Google's famous 20% time, which gives some engineers free rein to spend 20% of their time working on projects that interest them. People tend to attack such personal projects on a Friday or weekends when they're out of energy, or worse yet, they block out certain time in a day. When you give yourself a whole week, you give yourself permission to put your best energy toward the projects you work on. Want is the path of least resistance. You can rationally think about all the things you could do to be successful, but unless you are a robot, you're going to have trouble motivating yourself to do all of those things. Things you want to do have a certain magic to them, and that they tend to actually get done. My weeks of want have yielded lots of great things. I've done casual hangouts, which I ended up implementing as part of my D4H video course, and I dedicated myself to learning to delegate, for example. In this particular week of want, the one that would eventually make me part of a Google acquisition, I explored some of what made me try the week of want in the first place. It was a swell of curiosity that had been pushing through my consciousness since writing my book, Design for Hackers. I had discovered, through the process of writing the book, that such a big undertaking was much less a matter of managing my time and much more a matter of managing my mind. I had been thinking about and reading about this problem for quite a while, and I used my week of want to synthesize it into a blog post, Mind Management, Not Time Management, which is a previous mini-episode of the podcast. It was this blog post that made the folks at Timeful want to have me as part of their team. They were using artificial intelligence and behavioral science. Renowned behavioral economist and New York Times bestselling author Dan Ariely was a co-founder, to make a smarter time and mind management app. It was an exciting behavioral revolution app, and I was thrilled to help out. I talked to them for an hour a week. I thought about them, or just their product, while in the shower, and I helped their product team bring this philosophy to their app. In May 2015, Timeful sold to Google, and the shares I accrued during my advisory tenure came to have value. Though the amazing Timeful team did most of the work, the ideas that spawned from my week of want were in there somewhere. Hopefully some of what we came up with will soon be used in Google Calendar. Think of dragging to-do items onto your calendar, just as one example. Killing my to-do list consistently brings results. You might think this sounds like a crazy, lucky break, but this formula of allowing myself to play is an integral part of my business. Here are just a few examples of things I've done with no objective at all, and their results. Starting this blog. If you read my first post from over 11 years ago, it's clear that I, quote, didn't really have any particular intentions, unquote. I wrote that post simply because I felt compelled to. 6 months later, I even took an entire week's vacation from my job exclusively to work on my blog. My best freelance client. When I first started freelancing, someone from Odesk, now Upwork, contacted me. They had seen my blog post about an obscure information architecture diagramming language and were looking for a freelancer such as myself. They were my main client for a year, which provided predictable revenue to fund more experimentation. A $10,000 a month passive revenue muse. During a year when I was doing a lot of online dating, some friends persuaded me to write a blog about it. Not wanting to be the online dating guy, I reluctantly, but with a sense of fun and mischief, began writing under a pseudonym. The blog I wrote eventually became a passive revenue stream, earning as much as $11,000 in 1 month, that supported me while focusing on Design for Hackers. A best-selling book deal. Because a friend told me he had struggled to understand design, I threw together a crappy little Barcamp talk. 2 years later, that talk seeded a blog post that nearly immediately landed me a book deal for a book that debuted in the top 20 on all of Amazon. Are there lots of side projects I did that didn't turn out? Definitely. More than I could even list. But the things that did work tended to be a better fit and more enjoyable to do, you know, because I wanted to do them in the first place. Trust your intuition. Kill your to-do list from time to time. It's not like I invented following your curiosity without an objective. This theme is woven throughout the Steve Jobs commencement address that I used to reinforce my rationality throughout much of this journey. Quote, have the courage to follow your heart and intuition. They somehow already know what you truly want to become. Everything else is secondary. Continuing, you can't connect the dots looking forward. You can only connect them looking backward. So you have to trust that the dots will somehow connect in your future. I watched that talk dozens of times, especially during the really uncertain periods between going out on my own and getting the book deal for Design for Hackers. It can take time to pay off, but if you trust your intuition from time to time and kill your to-do list, you may be surprised by the power of want. And there you go. I hope that you enjoyed that. I don't really have a whole lot to add except for that, yeah, some of the Timeful stuff has shown up in some of the Google properties, not maybe as much as I would have liked to have seen that. I noticed they have reminders on the, at least on the iOS Google Calendar app. I would love it if they would have to-dos that had time lengths that you could assign to them, that you could drag around in the timeline, because that was really the killer thing about Timeful that I miss. But in any case, I hope that this reminds you to every once in a while, especially when you feel really stressed out with all the stuff that you feel like you're supposed to do, to take some time and follow your curiosity and see where it leads. So, there we have it. Before I go, I gotta ask, do you like books? If you do, I'd love to send you my book recommendations. About 90% of them will be nonfiction on subjects spanning from biographies to neuroscience. Just go to academy.net/reading, sign up, and you'll get my first set of recommendations right away. You'll be supporting the show if you buy any of those books through the links in the email. This has been Love Your Work, and I'm David Cadavy. The theme music for this show is CNU, performed by The Album Leaf, courtesy of Sub Pop Records. Love Your Work is a production of Cadavy, Inc.